Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
To run to keep from high, and I'm bound to keep on right. I got one more silver dollar, but I'm not gonna let them catch me, no, not gonna let them catch the midnight rider.
Chris,
sports radio,
Paul, on the other side. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Don't lower the music that much, you dope. How's everybody doing at 7 o'clock for a five-hour ride to midnight? That's right, McMonagle here with you in the evening. Not in the middle of the morning. No, in the middle of the evening. I got you for 5 hours, filling in for Keith all the way to midnight. And, of course, here we are talking about the New York Giants and their ineptitude. And I wish, I really do. And we'll take your call and phone calls on the Giants, 888-808-1019. I wish I had the anger that Loogie had. I just listened to the Lugauer. He was yelling. He was passionate. And I appreciate that. And I look at him and I'm jealous. I'm envious. I miss the days when I was that passionate and angry about the New York Giants because they have sucked it out of me. That really does sting out there, doesn't it? But they have. They've sucked the life out of me. The Giants are 2-8. And yes, because it's the bye week, and because we get to not have to watch them lose this week, we get to hear from the general manager. And Joe Shane addressed the masses, addressed the media in a can't wait, must see, have to listen to. 3 o'clock today, 3 o'clock today. We have to hear what this general manager has to say about a 2-8 season. Because everyone knows he's going to give us some real answers. I can't wait to hear what Joe Shane has to say to talk about this 2-8 year. And you know what? I have to admit, I was flabbergasted when I heard him give no real answers and have nothing to say and be absolutely caught in circles about, oh, the roster's good enough. Well, what does that mean? The coach isn't good enough? No, no, no. The coach is good. Everything's good. We're close. All the stuff that we listen to, and I'm sure you heard it. If you haven't, you will. We'll play some cuts, I'm sure. We'll hear it. We'll talk about it. You heard Loogie yelling about it. That's all great and grand. They are 2-8. Much like Joe Douglas last week when he spoke. What do you expect to hear from these general managers at 2-8? When you think what you want them to hear, right? Because then it comes to, well, I didn't like what he heard. Well, what did we expect him to say? Oh, if he just would have owned up to it. If he just would have taken blame for it. If he just would have said, hey, my bad. I know we're 2-8, but hey, everything I did was wrong. It's me. I'm the problem. And moving forward, I'm going to really take a good look at why I'm so bad at this, and I promise you, I'm going to be good moving forward. That would make me feel so much better, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it make it just warm the cockles of your heart at 2-8 at another dead season in November, losing to the worst team in the sport out in Germany in front of the whole world at 9:30 in the morning? I couldn't even keep my breakfast down. I couldn't even keep my breakfast down watching that team, but I would feel a hell of a lot better if the GM just owned it and said, I'm awful at my job. But yes, the owner expects him back, and that's really, I don't care about this season, and that's where I'm different than many Giant fans, and I understand I'm in the minority, and I am so in the tank mode that if you could pull me out of there, you'd be the king of England. Like, I am so in tank mode that it's absurd, and I know I'm in the minority for that, but I don't care about anything about this year. I don't care about anything. I don't care about how we got here. I don't care about what led to 2-8. Well, if it's not the roster, it's the coach. How's this? How's that? I don't care about any of it. All I care about is next year and moving forward. So I'm going to focus on some of the questions in this press conference and some of the answers that this GM, who first and foremost answered the question on if he expects to be back with an affirmative and a very strong yes. He will be. He expects to be back. He speaks to ownership every day. Him and John Mara are telephone buddies. They're on the phone every single night. They send each other text messages. They Zoom. They do everything else. They're very familiar with each other. And every night they go over all the stuff they're going to do. And he's pretty sure that with his conversations with the owner, he expects to be back next year. Now, that bolsters the previous comments from the owner where he doesn't anticipate making decisions or changes this year and maybe not even in the offseason, still wouldn't expect it. That's great. First and foremost, I think I'm going to take him at his word, right? And I talked about this yesterday. I did a whole long thing about how I don't know what could make you feel any better or worse moving forward. They're 2-8. If they win 3 or 4 games and go 5-12, I'm supposed to go, well, they really rallied the troops, guys. And I feel so much better about this game now that let's bring them all back. Or if they lose every single game and go 2-15, you know what 2-8 is? 2-8 is 2-15. It's a little funny math. I'm doing my son's math homework all the time. We have to draw all the circles and tens and ones and columns and all the new math out there today. I'm going to tell him when I get home. 2-8 equals 2-15. It's the exact same thing. When the season's dead, the season is dead. And I don't care if they don't win another game. In fact, I would have more belief moving forward and feel like I feel better about these two moving forward if they do go 2-15, because the one thing they have done, and they went over all the stuff that he hasn't done in the press conference. They talked about his draft picks with Evan Neal and obviously Hyatt and all the different failures they've had in the draft over his first two drafts after having a couple good picks later in rounds in this particular draft. So we talked about that inability, the inability to fix the offensive line, the inability to put together a roster, the inability to deal with the quarterback, which we're going to get into in a second, all the other things that he hasn't been able to do. The one thing he was brought here to do 3 years ago, him and the coach, was they were able to draft and develop a young quarterback named Josh Allen out in Buffalo. So if you tell me I'm moving forward with these guys, do you know where I feel less confident moving forward with them? Picking 12 or 13, rallying the troops and winning 7 games. What the hell does that get me? That gets me middle of the draft relying on the ability to pick other positions, not the quarterback. Not the quarterback. Different positions. I feel less. I am more willing to just bring these two back if I know they're going to be in a position to draft and develop a young quarterback than I am if Tommy DeVito goes in there and wins a couple games and now they have to build a team around Tommy DeVito or Sam Darnold or some other middling quarterback they bring in here. I don't trust that at all. The one thing I do trust is that maybe, just maybe, these two have the magic of recognizing a young quarterback, as we saw even in the players they don't draft. We saw in the Hard Knock offseason edition, these two were willing. They wanted desperately to get Jaden Daniels. They wanted desperately to figure out a way to get May. They can recognize the talent. If they know which quarterback they want, I trust them to do that one thing. Everything else they failed at. Everything else. And if the owner made a decision to fire them both right now, I wouldn't give a damn, and I'd be on board with it. But you can't tell me what happens next has anything to do with what happens next year. It just doesn't. I don't care. All I care about is next year. And we can go on and on about all the different stuff to ask in this question. And why didn't he talks about their close, right? You heard it over and over again. It was like Aaron Boone with their right there in front of us. Over and over again, he talked about how close they were, how many close games they played, how if you look through the NFL, this year in particular, it has played more NFL close scoring than any year in NFL history, right? Something along those lines. Oh, the parity inside the NFL is so close. We're right there. We're just so close. And, you know, we're right there with all the other teams who play close games. The only difference is we can't figure to win them, which is, you know, ultimately the most important thing. But if we do want to rehash for 1 second what's going on with this team in particular, and it leads into next year and the future of this franchise, the couple of things you did here was the most obvious and truthful moment that Shane had in this press conference when he wasn't giving you cliches and he wasn't talking about how close they are and he believes in his process and all the stuff that everyone expects to hear at a 2-8 press conference. But the one thing that he was honest about was something we've all talked about. I actually heard the afternoon show talking about it earlier in the day. I talked about it a bunch over the last few weeks, how even as a Giant fan, you can enjoy making the playoffs a couple of years ago, because that winning season in the first year of this tandem of Shane and Dable, the success they had there, absolutely hurt this team moving forward. And that's why when you look at how miserable they've been for a decade, you can't even celebrate the 1 year they won. Because when you look at it, that's the year that has kind of dragged them down and slowed this rebuild process that needed to happen. And when he was asked about that, he said, well, I've thought a lot about that. And there's probably some truth to the idea that that year hurt us. You know, I made some decisions. I evaluated things differently. Winning masked a few things for me. And there were decisions I wish I would have made differently. And you could look at things differently when you win. You want to accelerate the process because you had a playoff win and all that. And then I started thinking to myself, and I'm like, okay, so he doesn't like a lot of the decisions made after that year. And I'm thinking to myself, well, what were some of the decisions that they made after year one? Well, they signed Dexter Lawrence to a big-time contract. Well, Dexter Lawrence is right now arguably the premier defensive tackle in the sport. He's getting better every single year. His ability to rush the passer now is unmatched at his position in the NFL. I feel really good about giving Dexter Lawrence a long-time contract, no matter what the record is. They gave Andrew Thomas a long-term contract. Well, Andrew Thomas is when healthy, and that's been an issue for him the last 2 years, is one of the better left tackles in the sport. I think that's an important position, obviously. And he's done a good job when on the field. I feel pretty good about giving Andrew Thomas a long-term contract. They traded for Bobby Okereke. He's been really good for them and solidified that linebacker core. I kind of feel okay about him. What's the one thing they did after year one that you could look back and say, well, that was a mistake? What's the one thing? Oh, I remember giving Daniel Jones $40 million a year. That's the one thing. So if you want to break down, if you want to spend tonight until midnight or whenever, we'll get to other things too. But if you want to call me up at 888-808-1019, you want to talk about what went wrong with 2-8, we can, but it's quite easy. And I heard Lugie say, well, if we're going to talk about the quarterback, if there's the elephant in the room, let's talk about it. You know why they say it's an elephant in the room? Because you don't have to talk about it. We know exactly what the issue with this team is. The issue is the quarterback sucks. And you want to know why you lose close games week in and week out? Because the quarterback doesn't make plays, and he has no idea how to get this team into the end zone. That's the problem. Two turnovers in the red zone this week against, if you have average quarterback play, they beat Carolina. And we're not talking about the most embarrassing, which is laughable, considering they've lost 60% of their games 8 out of the last 10 years. But this is the most embarrassing. I've never seen anything like it. The most, the worst, like all the other cliches. Yeah, I know. So embarrassing. I mean, their seasons are dead year in and year out. They lost 40-0 at home against the Cowboys. But going out to Germany and losing to the Carolina Panthers, how will we ever recover? They've beaten it out of me to care about that game. It's over. The season's over. The season was over before they got on the flight to Germany. The season was over before the first Prost, which is what is like a cheers in Germany. I went to Germany. It was fun. They say Prost. The season's been over, and we know why. It's the quarterback. And all these other decisions, yeah, we could point to different ones. We could point to drafting Evan Neal, disaster. We could talk to Hyatt and drafting him in the third round and what his role is on this team and whether Thibodeau is a bust or just someone not worthy of a top five pick in the NFL or whatever else you want to talk about. The fact of the matter is the quarterback has dragged them down. This contract has dragged them down. And that's why all I care about is next year and no longer seeing Daniel Jones on the team. And that is why when you look at some of the other things said in this press conference, the worst moment to me, you want to talk about all the other stuff and we're close and all the cliches he throws at you? When he's asked about the quarterback position moving forward, he says they're going to make a football decision. That whatever they decide, Daniel Jones or Tommy DeVito or Drew Lock, whoever it's going to be, it's a football decision. Well, let me tell you something. Why start now? And if you're going to tell me that you are not going to take into account the idea that a quarterback who has ended the season twice in the last 3 years on IR, who twice out of the last 3 years couldn't pass that physical come March, that will guarantee his contract $23 million for next year. If that's not going to be taken into account, you want to talk about a damning statement? You want to talk about, you know, misleading the fan base or not taking accountability or all the other stuff that's going to come out of this press conference? Joe Shane literally told you, worst case scenario for this team is having Daniel Jones on the books next year and being the quarterback for the team. That's worst case scenario. Nothing else could be worse. That's it. $23 million on the books for a quarterback who can't play is the worst case scenario for the team. And he just told you he's not going to take that into account. Everything else that he said in that press conference means absolutely nothing to me. Absolutely nothing to me. If he's not going to take into account that he could possibly be stuck with the thing that has dragged them down for two straight years, that it's all about whether or not they can win a meaningless game in 2 weeks. That's all that matters. And what quarterback could give them the best chance to do that is all that matters. That's malpractice. That's stupidity. Not trying to sell you on the idea that they've done a better job than they have over the last 3 years. Not trying to tell you they're in a bunch of close games. Not telling you they're coming back. Not telling you, you know, oh, it's only been a couple of plays with Banks. Like, all of the other stuff that went into that press conference means nothing to me if they're not smart enough to recognize playing Daniel Jones isn't a football decision any longer. It's a New York Giants franchise decision. And it needs to be made. And if they don't, you want to talk about whether or not I believe they should come back. And I honestly, I think that you can make a very strong case in both directions, whether they should be fired or whether they should be brought back. And I do believe, looking around the landscape of the NFL and what he did with Josh Allen, particularly Brian Daboll, if you are going to draft a young quarterback and then develop him, you could do a lot worse than Brian Daboll. And I don't know where they go from him. So if that's the position they're in, I'm on board. I am. I'm on board. But if they continue to throw Daniel Jones out there and risk that possibility and put the jeopardy and put the possibility of getting out from under Daniel Jones on the table for football decisions, well, then they're clueless. Then they're clueless. And that's the one thing that would make me change my mind about getting rid of, not losing the rest of the games. Who cares? Who cares at 2-8? It's exactly the same as 2-15. I have no interest in any more games. They need to lose them all. The best thing that could have happened in Germany was losing to Carolina. You can't convince me otherwise. That was the best thing that could have happened to this team. The Dolphins winning last night and getting their third win. Best thing that could have happened. Like, win. Everybody else win. Giants lose. Get the draft pick. Draft them. Develop them with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. That's the path forward for this team. And playing Daniel Jones another snap, having Daniel Jones practice, having Daniel Jones put on pads is the only thing that jeopardizes it. The only thing. Not losing the locker room, not a bunch. Because last year they fought, they won. They went out and beat a Green Bay Packers team last year with Tommy DeVito, who ended up going on a run and beating the Cowboys in the playoffs and were the toast of the town and were close to beating the Lions in the postseason. What did it do for them? They showed up week one unprepared for the Vikings. What do I care about building chemistry with this team or showing that they'll fight for them? It means nothing. They went from winning a playoff game on the road and losing to a Philadelphia team and all the momentum built up from that season, the contract to all these guys, oh, they're going to be great, 40-0 to the Cowboys dead season. They win some games down the stretch. Tommy DeVito's the talk of the town. He's out selling pizza sauce in the offseason. Everything's great. Sam Darnold sticks it to them week one, dead season in November. What do I care about what happens next other than don't show me Daniel Jones ever again? And please, don't do any more press conferences because you suck at them. 888-808-1019, McMonagle here with you. So we'll talk more Giants football. And I know I did get a little bit angry in there, but it's hard for me to really get all hot and bothered about comments from a GM in a 2-8 season. I have to admit, and this is the worst place to be as a fan. There's nothing worse. I want them to lose, and I'm indifferent to them. Let me see what happens in the offseason. Let me see what happens at the draft. We'll see what happens when training camp opens up. Like, until then, I no longer care about the New York Giants. That's on them. They did that. And they didn't do it today with press conferences. They did it losing 2-8. They didn't do it by telling me they're close when they're not. They didn't do it but with anything other than losing the football games and having another dead season and doing it to me for a decade. Like, this is so not about today. This is about the last 10 years. It's not even about Joe Shane. It's about the last 10 years of this franchise where they give you nothing. They are the Jets. They're the Cleveland Browns. They're the Carolina Panthers. They're any other franchise you want. They are the losingest team in the sport for a decade. They can't get out of their own way, no matter who the coach is, no matter who the GM is. But he told us we were close. Today's the day to get angry. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the fan. We'll take your calls all the way till midnight. We'll mix in some Juan Soto stuff. And I'll tell you right now, Francisco Lindor thinks he can go fly to California and take care of this thing and steal him away from the Yankees. He's got another thing coming. That's right. Take your runner-up MVP trophy and see if it will get you Juan Soto. It won't. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. So we got a little baseball, a little football.
Talk New York sports on the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 727. Paul's a strand. It's always fun when you get a chance to work with Paul Rosenberg. He's just he's an out there dude. What is it? Is this the like some sort of back off the anthology Beatles something?
It is.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't know it?
No, I don't. It's like it's not off just listening to it right now. It's from an anthology album.
Very good. The anthology true version.
Yeah.
I went to all the Beatles songs in alphabetical order and took the first one.
One after 909? What is this?
12 bar original.
Yeah, 12 bar original. It's literally just jamming. Thanks. The Beatles jamming, everybody. 727. McMonagle here with you. And look, I understand the frustration. If you listen, I heard what Lugie said, and I heard what Evan said, and I understand the frustration of listening to Mara and tell you he's close when they're 2-8. They're not close. Now, look, do I think with an average quarterback they win some of these games? I do. I think of Andy Dalton. Right, and if Andy Dalton were the quarterback of the New York Giants, I don't think they're a winning team. I don't know if they're a playoff team. Their season's alive. I firmly believe that they beat Carolina. They probably beat Washington that first game against Washington. Like, I think their season's alive. So if you say, are they close to being a somewhat competitive team? Sure, I think they're somewhat close to that. I think everyone in the NFL is, to the point that he made about how many close games are played. I think you look at every team in the NFL and say they're close to being competitive. That's not the bar. Not year three. So I understand the frustration of him talking about we're close and defending the roster when asked if the roster was good enough. Yeah, no, I think the exact wording was, do you think that you put the team in a tough spot with the roster? Was the roster not good enough? No, I wouldn't say that. Well, it leads to, if the roster's not good enough, well, then what's the problem? The coaching? And then he defends the coach. Clearly, he's 2-8 trying to defend the team. And if you would have felt better about him just going out there and saying, listen, we all suck. I suck. This one sucks. It's a terrible season. Everything I did sucked. And if the owner decided to fire me, he's well within his rights. I mean, I'm just plain awful. And if you think you would have felt better after that, like me, I wouldn't have felt better after it. I think that it makes you feel better. That's the one thing I'll disagree. I heard Evan say that. He came up with this whole thing about how if he just takes accountability, everybody loves accountability lately. And I understand accountability is important. But like, if Joe Shane told you I'm terrible at this, how about conviction? Is conviction a good quality? Like, we want accountability, but nobody wants to have conviction. He has conviction in his decisions. Would you rather have a guy who's easily fought off of his convictions, that is easily changed to I'm an idiot? Is that what we want in a general manager? Someone who's willing to just go, hey, listen, I'm awful at this and I got to rethink this whole damn thing. That's what I want. I want a general manager who has to change his thought process and the way he views football 3 years in. That's the ticket. There is no right answer to 2-8. There isn't. There's nothing you could say. You can come out and say, every decision I made was wrong. I'm the problem. I need to build a better roster. Great. Now do I have faith in him doing it? Does that accountability and recognition make me feel better that he'll do better? Wouldn't you rather have a guy that say, look, there's been mistakes made, but I trust my process. I do. I'd rather have that guy back. At least he has some conviction in what he does. What is he? Just a flip-flopper going, well, this didn't work. I'll try something else. Like, that sounds great when it comes to, you know, the buffet or your favorite, you know, cocktail. But I don't know if, like, building a football team is about just flip-flopping after things didn't go your way. I just don't know. I don't think there's anything that could have been said to make me feel any better. And we say that. Like, everyone says that. Like, you go into the press conference and you say, look, is there anything you could actually say to make you feel better? No, not really. I don't know. And then you don't live by it, though. Then you'll still get annoyed by what he says, knowing full well there was nothing he could say. We say it, but it's almost lip service until we hear what he says, and then we get annoyed. I'm annoyed at 2-8. I'm annoyed at another dead season. I'm not annoyed at what he said in his press conference. I'm really not. I'm annoyed at the decisions. I know the decisions that were successful and the decisions that weren't. You know them. I know them. We all know them. Namely, the quarterback. Because like I said, he fully admitted that the success of year one changed the way they probably went about year two and year three, and it's almost been like a one-off. That first year was a one-off, and now they've gone about rebuilding, and this is the second year of a rebuild. And decisions were made that he probably would have made differently. But what are the ones? Again, every other decision I agreed with. Dexter Lawrence is a great decision. Andrew Thomas is a fine decision. Bobby Okereke is a fine decision. What's the decision after that year that sucked? I don't need him to tell me that in a press conference. I don't. I know it, giving Daniel Jones the contract. That's what's killed the team. And he better not play ever again. And it better not just be for football reasons. It better be for obvious ones. 888-808-1019. You know, like, he could be part of this team next year for $23 million. Like, that's where it bothers me. That's where I get annoyed. That's where I get annoyed. Oh, we're going to make a football decision. You're going to make a football decision at 2-8? Thanks. Those decisions don't need to be made anymore. I don't need football decisions. Where were you for the first 10 weeks of the year with football decisions? I'm done with football decisions. Now I need business decisions for next year. That's what I need. I need football decisions.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Decisions for the future. This year's football decisions mean nothing to me. Nothing. I want them to lose. I don't want football decisions. I want bad football decisions. Richie in Queens. What's up, Richie?
Hey, C-Mac. How are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Well, I'm just aggravated, obviously, you know, but I just got just a quick thing, personal thing. I just walked out of Giant supermarket and I'm wearing my veteran's hat, and a young kid from 10 years old walks up and says, sir, thank you for your service. That kind of made my day.
Oh, that's great. Well, let me join him. Thank you for your service.
And you know what, Cena? Today is 56 years since I got out. So you could tell that I got a few years here. But anyway, with the conference, totally agree with what you're saying. You know, I watched the game on Saturday. And no matter Sunday, no matter how upset we get, we want to see them win.
Yeah.
And to me, the turning point of that game was they stopped them on the first series. When he overthrew Neighbors.
Yeah.
Okay. After they got four, by the way, I heard the name Hyatt. The only time I heard Hyatt was Hyatt O'Dell's. I was shocked.
I know he actually caught a pass on that first drive. I was like, what is that across the middle?
And he caught three at the end of the game when it was meaningless. Well, it really wasn't meaningless. But bottom line is, they get the pass interference. They're on the 45. They go three and out.
Yep.
They kick off. They go 90 yards.
Yep.
And that's the turning point. And people say, come on, it's early. They don't score points, okay? Then at the end of the game, okay, they score and make it a five-point game. Obviously, the two-point conversion was just laughable.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's third and nine with this guy who's got one of the worst third-down percentages in the league. And he throws a 15-yard pass. They got to use their timeout. Pretty much the game is over. But the thing that really benched him, as far as I'm concerned, the interceptions were egregious, no doubt. But I think that flea flicker, because everybody blamed 100%. The call on that. He saw that. I think Dable and said, look at this. I got guys wide open.
Yep.
They're going to come back at me. It's third and one from the 50. Why do that? You got two shots to get the first down. But you know what? Bottom line is, C-Mac, he's done. He's not going to play anymore. The whole,
I hope so.
Their whole job future right now is based on the fact that we are going to win and turn this with the quarterback. You keep touching on that. They don't want to play him anymore. He's not going to say, hey, we're going to bench this guy because we don't want to lose $23 million. They can't say that. He will not play again.
I get it. I mean, they can. They can say that. They could just say, yeah, listen, we got to take that into account. Like, I don't think they have to, like, I'm just saying, I understand that. I do understand that. I'm not going to get hung up on the, I'd be a hypocrite to go on and on about how the press conference doesn't matter and then parse words. You're right. That's fine. He better not play again. Because when I hear football decisions, I think Daniel Jones has the most talent of the quarterbacks on the roster. So it scares me that they try and, like, that's why I want the decision to be made already. And it sounds like that Joe Shane's confident that he is coming back, but I want John Mara to make a decision now. Because I don't want these guys coaching for their jobs. Because I don't want them, honestly, if they're coaching for their jobs, then you could argue Daniel Jones is the player to play. You could argue it as bad as he's been. You could argue he's better than DeVito and Locke. You can argue that pretty compellingly. I don't want him to play anymore. And it's not a football decision. It technically is a football decision. I don't think he's any good. But it's not about winning games anymore. It's just not. It shouldn't be. And that sucks to say. I hate saying that. But it is what it is. Like, I was going to stop you, Richie, because you're breaking down the game on Sunday. Who cares? Who cares what the turning point was? The turning point was 2-7. The turning point was 2-6. The turning point was before. There is no turning point in meaningless games against Carolina. Like, I can't do it. I can't do it. You want to talk about that first throw? Yeah. When he sailed that ball over Neighbor's head, did I know the way the rest of the game was going to go? You bet your ass I did. Yeah, I knew exactly how Daniel Jones was going to play that game. I knew exactly how it was going to be. And then when Chuba Hubbard goes down the field and runs it down their throat and they put it in the end zone, did you know how the game was going to go? I knew exactly how the game was going to go. So you want to call it the turning point? Great. You know what it was? Hopefully it's a turning point to getting the first pick in the draft. Like, honestly, who cares? I can't. I muster no enthusiasm for the win. Now, when I'm watching it, do I get annoyed? Did I go, this freaking guy, when that ball was sailed over Neighbor's head? I did. Was I annoyed when things would happen? Do I go, oh my God, this team, and get frustrated? I do. But ultimately, at the end of the game, the minute it ended, I knew that was the best outcome for the New York Giants. And losing in 2 weeks is going to be the best outcome for the New York Giants. And finishing this season with two wins is the best outcome for everybody. In my mind, including the coach and GM. I'll never understand it. Someone's going to have to explain it to me. I tried to have Evan explain it to me today. Explain to me how winning a few games down the stretch helps save this coach's job. tell, I mean, are we really into empty, hollow wins? Is that what, say, like, we complain about, and so many people do, complain about participation trophies and, you know, the way we've changed. Now we don't look at things the same. And blah. Like, to me, tanking isn't soft. Tanking is a reality. And it's about moving forward as a franchise, not meaningless wins. I don't care. Like, to me, wins now are the participation trophy. These are meaningless wins. They're empty wins. They're hollow wins that give you nothing. They give you nothing, and a couple of empty wins is supposed to change my mind about this head coach? I was on the fence, but thankfully, man, if they finished 2-15, I would have fired his ass. Thankfully, they went 4-13. Thankfully.
If you want the Giants to lose,
yes.
Out, who is the best option at quarterback then? Because that's what it comes to. Yeah. If it's based strictly off...
Correct.
The Giants should lose every single game the rest of the way to bolster their draft pick,
correct.
Essentially. Which of these three quarterbacks do you want to play? Yeah.
See, but that's not... that you're asking the wrong question, to me, specifically. Because I don't get paid to evaluate quarterbacks. They do. I could have given you an opinion and tell you I prefer Ward or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's whatever Brian Daigle thinks.
Of the quarterbacks on the team right now.
On the quarterbacks on the team right now.
Giants quarterbacks right now.
Yes.
Who do you want? Who gives them the best chance to lose out?
Right.
Because that's what the Giants fans should be rooting for.
I think they should play Locke because they gave him $5 million. Honestly, I think they should play Locke. Daniel Jones, if it was just about tanking and Daniel Jones didn't have a number attached to his name for next year for injury purposes, I might continue to play him. That's how bad he is. I don't think they can go wrong. How about that? They can't go wrong. They don't have a quarterback in that room that can win them games. So it doesn't matter to me. Daniel Jones can't play because of the possibility of getting injured. Other than that, I don't care. I don't care. So it's not like I'm not picking players to lose necessarily. I understand when I say tank that players don't play to lose. Coaches don't coach to lose. I'm not suggesting they should. I understand the reality is you can't go out there and not try to win. They should go out there to win. They should coach to win. But you can make decisions based on roster, based on different things, that puts you in a less advantageous position to win. And ultimately, it's no longer about this year. And I don't understand how rallying the troops makes me feel any better. That's what I don't get specifically. Like at 2-8, the season's dead. If they go 4-13 and win two more games here and beat the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, are we going to go, oh, at least they beat the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. They haven't beat the Cowboys in forever. That's a good, solid win. They showed up for the coach. All right, I could see moving forward with them. Who cares? What will it lead to? Anthony in Staten Island. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it. Thanks for making it, buddy. What you got?
Listen, I'm a diehard Giant fan, and I can't get angry anymore, right?
Like, I hear you.
I'm so numb to how horrific this team has been. All I could do is just laugh, right? So now, I watched this press conference, and I happen to think Joe Shane is a good GM, and I think Daboll is a good head coach. Mm-hmm. But watching that press conference, okay, it was 27 minutes of Joe Shane insulting the intelligence of every fan that was listening. Oh, well, we're this close. There's, you know, this position is good, and we got good coaches. So why have we won 5 games in 7 years?
You just said that you believe them to be a good GM and good head coach.
I do. Okay.
So then what? Just said the same thing, and you're yelling that you have a problem, no, that it's insulting your intelligence.
Because my argument is this. All right, this is my argument with the Joe Shane, Brian Daboll. I feel like they inherited Daniel Jones, okay? Obviously, they made the choice to pay him, right? Because, in my opinion, Daniel Jones committed legalized robbery by having a good season, okay? $40 million. I'll be honest with you, Chris. If he ever plays another snap for the Giants, it's disrespectful to every fan and player that ever wore the uniform, okay? I'm disgusted. He's terrible. He's not an NFL quarterback. He misses some of the most easiest throws that I feel like me or you could make. He's missing throws that there's not a defender anywhere near in sight, okay?
Or not making them in the case of the flea flicker.
Or not making them. He throws a terrible deep ball.
And it wasn't always this way. He's been broken. I don't know what happened along the way, but he's been broken.
He's not an NFL quarterback. Yeah. Okay, so With that being said, I couldn't agree with you more. I don't want them to win another game.
Yeah.
Okay? And if we weren't on the hook for $23 million, I would say play Daniel Jones because he's not going to win another game.
Yeah.
Right? With that being said, Drew Lock, I agree with you 100%, $5 million. If we put Tommy DeVito in, I think Tommy gives us a chance to win a couple of games. Drew Lock is terrible. Let Drew Lock play. Let him play for the $5 million that we paid him for. And in my personal opinion, I think, and it was a little ballsy to me that Shane came back so definitively that he's like, oh, yeah, I'm coming back.
Yeah.
No problem. But with that being said, I want him to come back. And this is the reason why, Chris. And then I'm going to hang up and listen. The only reason I want him and Daves to come back is because they do have the ability to develop the young quarterback. So what I want them to do is I never want to see Daniel Jones in a Giants uniform ever again. I want them to draft their guy, right? Let them draft their guy, whoever that may be, Shador Sanders. I don't care. Let them draft their, like you said, they get paid to evaluate the quarterback position. Let them draft their guy. Give them a couple years, and then you'll know exactly what Daboll and Shane are. Give them the chance. Let them draft their guy because, in my opinion, I think there's talent on this team. There's talent around this team.
And thanks for the call, Anthony. And this is where I have I don't understand what you're saying at the start of the call. Like, over the course of your call, you said Shane's a good GM, Daboll's a good head coach, they can draft and develop a young quarterback, and there's talent on the team. And yet you said the press conference was an insult to all of our intelligence. Well, you're under the same impression that he is. So, like, I don't understand. I don't understand, Anthony. I got to be honest with you. Like, I don't get it. And again, it's not an insult to my intelligence when people defend themselves and the job they've done. And when he says they're close, you just said you agreed with it, that you think there's talent on the team. They're a quarterback away from being a competitive team. They're not a quarterback away from being a good team. And I don't want to hear at 2-8 that we're close. I agree with that. Like, I agree with what everybody says. I agree with what Evan says. Nobody wants to hear we're close when they're 2-8 and they were miserable last year as well. Nobody wants to hear that. I just don't think there's anything I want to hear. I don't want to hear from them. I want to see success. Other than that, I don't care. I'm willing to even let them keep their jobs as a fan. I understand it. Like, I don't view it the same way. And people will go, well, they other coaches lost out and they lost their jobs. You know, they didn't want to fire Joe Judge until he lost out. They didn't want to fire Ben McAdoo until he lost out. Those are different circumstances. One, Ben McAdoo completely lost the team, defensively especially, and then he benched Eli Manning for Geno Smith and the entire fan base despised him. And then Joe Judge was running quarterback sneaks up against his own goal line and taking on and disparaging and insulting other head coaches like Ron Rivera. He talked himself into getting fired. This is a different set of circumstances. Plus, now they've done it three consecutive times with three different head coaches. They don't want to do it a fourth time. And I'm okay with that. I am. Despite this press conference, I'm okay with keeping these two guys running the franchise, especially if they have an opportunity to draft and develop a young quarterback. But I don't want to hear anything about it. I wish he wouldn't even have the press conference. There's nothing to say. They're awful. They need a new quarterback in the worst way. And the team is going nowhere until they show me they're going somewhere. Plain and simple. So this was just an opportunity to get upset. I mean, I appreciate that he stood in there and answered questions. They should. They only speak once during the season, during the bye week. He should be forced to sit up there and answer questions. But ultimately, like, we all know every single the answer he said. We all know every single thing he said. Nothing new was presented in this press conference. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Quick break. Come back. Take your phone calls all the way until midnight tonight. McMonagle here with you on the
phone. Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan. 101.9 FM and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
McMonagle here with you on the Fan. I gotta, so the Knicks and Sixers are playing right now. And once that game ends, we'll talk about it a little bit. But I gotta just admit, so this dopey in-season tournament is back, and so are the hideous courts. I can't even watch it. It is hurting my eyes. They have the court all decked out in blue. I the red ones, especially like in Toronto and some of the teams that wear red for their home uniform, the courts are, I don't understand it. It's hideous. It's hideous. I can't even watch the game. This isn't like Boise State where it's like the blue field and it's somewhat cool. Like this is basketball. And to see that blue court, I can't take it. I hate the whole thing about this stupid tournament. I hate everything about it. I hate the courts. I hate the way they do it. No one even knows, for the most part, these games are even part of the tournament. Like, it's just, I cannot stand it.
That's why they have the colored courts. That's how you know.
I understand. You turn the game on, you're like, oh, that's right. It's that dopey tournament. Thanks for the reminder with the hideous court that I can't watch.
It's incredibly jarring. They look like they're playing on Smurfs.
It's this. I don't know what it is.
Crazy.
I don't know what. It looks terrible. And the blue is just as bad. The red is worse. Didn't the Nets have all black court?
I think they had a gray court. The Bulls had an all red court that I was watching last year.
Yeah, that's right. The Bulls had a can't even watch it. I feel like Kramer when the Kenny Rogers was outside his window, and it's like, you know, it's all red. Can't watch it.
One of the few good Seinfeld episodes.
Only someone looking for an argument would put it that way. I'm not going to have this debate with you. I'm not going to argue the virtues of Seinfeld with you. Stop it now. One of the few good episodes of the greatest comedy in history. I mean, come on, stop it now. It's it's the greatest comedy in history. It's the most successful.
Successful, certainly. I think greatest. You can say there's an argument.
Fine. There's an argument. That's fine.
Incredibly successful.
One of the only few good Seinfeld episodes. Nobody's ever said that ever. Stop it.
Yeah, the Kenny Rogers roasting chicken sign thing. Yeah. 100%. And to be fair, it's not like a lot of them have had success post-Seinfeld. Minus Jason Alexander with the diner commercial.
Who cares? What does that mean, minus that? How about Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Veep? She's had a couple of successful shows since.
That's fair. That's a good comeback.
I mean, come on.
Veep was very good.
Yeah, and Jerry Seinfeld just made a Pop-Tart movie. 888-80, everyone loved. It was actually pretty freaking awful. But that's okay. I remember, I think, I was here one night, one of the times Steve was on, had Jerry on. And it was years ago, obviously, you know.
Of course.
And he was promoting or talked about the new movie he's making about Pop-Tarts.
I vaguely remember
that. I was like, about Pop-Tarts? And then the movie came out.
I believe Steve and Jerry from Queens are still regularly in contact.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's good to know. And I'm sure he's happy to know that his favorite producer thinks the show sucked. 888-808-1019. Yeah, he did. You said Seinfeld sucked. That's what you said. 888-808-1019. McMonagle with you. All right, quick break. We'll come back. Gotcha, but still 4 more hours. It just keeps on a coming. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Taking it all the way to midnight on our ride to midnight here on a Tuesday evening. We'll get to the break. ACK up next. Take your phone calls the rest of the way. McMonagle here with you on The Fan.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today. Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.